It is now 17 minutes past one. Welcome back to Lunch Times with me, Matt Webb. And I'm very pleased to say that my special guest this afternoon is none other than the harmonica player and local musician, Steve Lockwood. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Not too bad. It's great to have you in the studio.
Thanks
finally.
Very much. It's been a while since we've been in the studio together.
It was when you lectured me at Cambridge Regional College. I've had both my old lecturers on the show.
Have you really?
Trevor Dan and yourself.
Oh, so that's great.
So you come in to talk about your harmonica playing, and you've also got a new single out, a new album out that we'll be talking about in a few minutes time. So where did it all start for you with your harmonica playing?
Well, the harmonica playing actually came slightly later. I'd sang in sort of churches and community groups as a kid, just as you do. And then I trained to be a chef at the local university, and I think I went and saw a friend of mine's band, and they said, oh, why don't you come up and sing something with us? And I was a terrible singer. But nonetheless, within a couple of years, I was on stage, and I was playing with a Big Teetotal and the Half Cuts at the Cambridge Rock Competition in 1987, and I said solo to the guitarist, who was called Jez Quayle, and he came into the solo, and the whole audience went, it was absolutely incredible. I thought, they're never going to do that for me, however silly my hair looks. So I decided to go and see a friend of mine called John Garland, and I said, John, you know, I really need to learn musical instrument, and you play 32 different instruments. He said, well, what do you do on stage, Steve? I said, I dive around, jump in the audience, climb up the speakers. And he said, well, the piano's no good for you. You might as well take up the harmonica and follow in the footsteps of other singers. People like Bob Dylan, Stevie Wonder, Mick Jagger, Brian Jones, even Leo Sayer is a fantastic harmonica player.
Wonderful stuff. And you ended up getting a degree in playing the harmonica. That sounds a bit of a strange thing to get a degree. And how did you go about getting that?
Well, I'd come off of a sort of 8 years touring abroad in casinos around Monte Carlo and Switzerland. And I was, I decided, oh, I really need to do something different. So I applied at what is now Anglia Ruskin University to do a degree and use the harmonica as my specialist number one instrument. And they said, well, okay, you know, we're not sure about this, who are we going to get to teach you? And so luckily I managed to phone up Larry Adler and get him to come up and teach, and he was the master of the harmonica. And I had people like Douglas Tate teach me, and people like Lee Oscar. I went over to Seattle, and it was really being totally immersed in harmonica. But not only that, there was also the business side of music and how to keep yourself professional and keep the money coming in, and experimental things like, you know, technology and all that stuff. I went on to lecture myself.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Yes, you lectured me, of all people, so fantastic stuff. And you say that you've got your musical influences span 100 years.
Yes.
That's right. A long time.
It is, but the harmonica, really, I mean, it goes back to 3,000 years BC, and it really wasn't until an expo in Paris in the 1750s that the instrument, or the mechanisms of the instrument, came over to Europe. By about, I think, 1821, the first harmonica was invented, and the first British harmonica was 1829. And when you think the saxophone's 1840, the harmonica's older than that. And really, it went over to the States with some family members of a company called Hohner, and over there it was portable, it was cheap, and lots of people tried to play it. I mean, when it started off in Germany, it was more designed to play the sort of umpah music. But when it was moved over to America, and the African American took the instrument, instead of playing things like the Saints Go Marching In, they would play it based on the draw, and they would be able to get lots of inflections out of it. And a different style was born. So really, that was going back at least 100 years. And so from then, I've just moved forward through jazz and blues and rock and roll. And then through the 60s, that big explosion of musical styles. There isn't any style of music I don't like.
Wonderful stuff. And I see you've brought in a big selection of harmonicas. You've just played two of them. And pardon my ignorance, but I always thought there was just one style of harmonica. I think most people would think that.
Well, there's two types of harmonicas. One's called a chromatic harmonica, and that one has the slide on, and you think of Larry Adler and Stevie Wonder. And the other one's a short one. They've both got three octaves, the main versions. But the slide on the side gives you the black notes, whereas to get the black notes on the diatonic harmonica, the smaller harmonica, you have to pitch bend like this. So therefore, we can get and make lots and lots of really interesting sounds. And really just make it sound a little bit more like the voice, actually, the way the voice goes up and down through the notes.
That's right. And harmonica has played a vital role in a lot of songs. I can think of, I think it must be one of the Eurythmics songs, There Must Be an Angel Playing with My Heart, for example. And
yes.
In popular culture as well, dare I say, people like Richard O'Brien playing it on the Crystal Maze and places like that.
Oh, so, yes, that's right. Yeah.
So it obviously helped encourage people to take up the harmonica. Is it still taken up today? Do lots of people still play it?
Yes. Well, I've been teaching harmonica for about 20 years now, and I hold harmonica workshops all around the country. I've even been over to Ireland, and 3 weeks ago I was actually teaching 150 people in Monte Carlo. It not only does it have a corporate world as a nice refresher and to get people start playing things like Love Me Do by the Beatles and Little Red Rooster and all of those sorts of things, but also taking it to a bit of a higher level. I do these workshops in art centres in Grantham and Bishop Stortford and Bury St Edmunds all around, and I'm just can start up doing workshops once a month at Ken Stevens Music, Miller's Music in the centre of Cambridge, probably on a Sunday.
Just off King Street, isn't it?
That's right, yes. So, if anybody's interested in that, you can find me on www.steve.ms. M for mother, S for sugar.
Wonderful stuff. And you're no stranger to the Cambridge music scene. We briefly touched on it earlier. One of the bands that you starred in that I remember quite well was Jump, Bump and Boogie.
Oh, yes. It was nearly 20 years ago today. Yes, Chippy Carpenter. Half of us started off at the Flying Pig, and the other half of the band started off at the Boat Race at the Blues Jam down there. And we came together, and it was an explosion. We did a concert this weekend at Needingworth Festival, and it's been nearly 20 years since we started.
Crikey, were you still able to perform together? Was there any practice
we
involved?
We had just about any... Well, there was about half an hour for three of the band members, and the rest of the people just jumped up. But when you've done that many thousands of gigs, then actually you're just used to it.
That's right, and you started in some other bands as well. It wasn't just Jump, Bump and Boogie.
That's right, there was that Big Teetotal and the Half Cuts, there was the Herbs, there was an old band years ago, a ska punk band called The Stormed. I had the Shakin' Vax, Steve Ellivac and the Disposables. I was in Horace X for a while. And I'm playing with Brooks Williams at the moment at the Ely Folk Festival in a couple of weeks. I'm also working with Bex Marshall, who's touring all over the world at the moment. And I, in fact, did the Whispering Bob Harris show with her about 4 weeks ago.
You said he was ever such a pro.
He was. I said, "How you doing, Bob? Are you all right?" He went, "Yeah."
Only Bob could get away with doing something like that. Anyway, we're going to hear a classic Jump, Bump and Boogie track. It's interesting because it says copyright 1996 on here. That shows how long ago it was.
I know. That was done at Quali Sound, a fantastic studio in Bar Hill, which is unfortunately no longer there, with a great producer called Steve. And yes, you've chosen the one that actually was co-written by myself and Mac from the very first band I was in, Big Teetotal and the Half Cuts.
Wonderful stuff. This is Jump, Bump and Grind.
Bring that jive. Man alive. Well, listen, lately, let all your love be mine. Well, I heard that you's my baby been slipping out.
Ooh, she been slipping in and out, man.
I heard that you's my baby been slipping out.
All over town.
Well, pretty baby, pretty girl, out of town. Yeah, wanna jump, bump and grind.
Oh, yeah.
Woman, I'm a loving kind. We're gonna jump, bump and grind.
Oh, yeah.
Woman, I'm a loving kind. Well, listen, lately, let all your love be mine.
Hey, boys, listen to me now.
I heard that you's my baby and tell the truth.
That's true, man, she ain't telling the truth.
I heard that you's my baby and tell the truth.
She lied.
Well, baby, baby, come on through the roof. Yeah, wanna jump, bump and grind.
Oh yeah.
Woman, I'm a loving cat. We're gonna jump, bump and grind.
Oh yeah.
Woman, I'm a loving cat. Well, this sweet little doll, your love be mine.
Hit me, daddy, slick it now.
ain't been seen the man.
I don't believe she can.
Well, pretty big baby got a sample. Double band plan.
Oh, clever.
Yeah, oh, jump, bubble, grind.
Oh, yeah.
Woman, I'm the loving kind. We're gonna jump, bubble, grind.
Oh, yeah.
Woman, I'm the loving kind. Well, this little lady, that will be mine.
Sweet cat fall.
Seeing you.
Who, me?
Him. How did you use my baby been seeing you?
It ain't true.
Well, baby been finding something new. Yeah, oh, jump, bubble, grind.
Oh, yeah.
Woman, I'm the loving guy. We're gonna jump, bubble, grind.
Oh, yeah.
Woman, I'm the loving guy. Well, listen, lately, out your love in my.
Ah,
jump, bubble, grind.
Oh, yeah.
Woman, I'm the loving guy. You're gonna jump, bubble, grind.
Oh, yeah.
Woman, I'm the loving guy. Well, lead out of love be mine. I keep me running over someone else again, man.
That is absolutely superb. Jump, Bump and Boogie and Jump, Bump and Grind. And we play that because my guest this afternoon is Steve Lockwood. He featured in that group and he's also a local harmonica player. Good afternoon to you again, Steve.
Hi, Matt.
And you've actually done 4,000 gigs and you've done 90 albums.
I know.
That's phenomenal.
It has. Well, actually, when you spread it over 30 years, it's not that much, I don't think. But it's a fair track record. And the great thing for me is people always say, what's your favourite music? And I always say, the next one that comes in the door. Because I really like doing different things, being eclectic.
Did that sort of take you back hearing that again?
Yes, I did. It took me back to some good old days, actually. We really enjoyed recording that album and pulled a friend over from Switzerland. Leo, he played a bit of guitar for us. And that was so fantastic. But that album, I think we'd all been drinking coffee and the whole album was really fast, I think.
And you did Pop in the Park one year as well.
That's right, yes. That was great fun. In fact, I think just before we did Pop at the Park, we actually came up to do an interview with Paul Cristofori,
yeah, who's on next.
Right. Yeah, we did. Yeah, just before then.
He was a regular reviewer of your music, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. He used to do Seen and Heard and loads of different things. Very important man on the music scene in those days. And it's great to see that he's still doing the same stuff.
He certainly is. And you've got a relatively new album out. Tell us a little about this. It's called Between the Tracks.
Yeah, that's right. And I decided when I sort of got to about my 60th album, I thought, well, I used to write music, but I've become so good on the harmonica that actually I'm playing everybody else's music now. So I was determined that my 70th album was going to be material that I wrote myself. And it shows my eclectic nature, as it's quite an eclectic album. There's some soul-y stuff and some jazzy stuff in there, bluesy and some bluegrass on there. And there's even some sort of more modern sort of dancey tracks on towards the end as well.
How long did it take to get the album together?
My wife and I had two babies, so that sort of slowed it down ever so slightly, but I think from start to finish was 5 years.
Wonderful stuff, and we're going to all play two tracks from the album, so we'll start off with Train Calling. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so I've always had this great fun track that I do with the audience when I play live, and I start off with this train, I get them to clap their hands, and I get faster and faster and faster until eventually their hands are burning, and and it turns into a round of applause, which is very nice for me. I just have to stop and listen to that for a second, and then go into the song. So I thought, oh, I need to do my own version of that, because I'd more or less made it my own. So I just changed it a little bit, and originally it was called Bring My Hoover Back, and it was from a band that I had called the Shakin' Vacs, and we just sang about vacuum cleaners, and this was Bring My Hoover Back, but now I've got the grown-up version for you now.
This is Steve Lockwood and Train Calling. That was Train Calling by Steve Lockwood, who's my guest this afternoon, local harmonica player and musician. So welcome back, Steve.
Hi, Matt.
Wonderful track that is, and very, 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 very you, I think, is the best way to describe it, with the harmonica in the background there.
Yes. Well, the train song is an iconic song that gets people started. Before people could play tunes on harmonica, they usually copied nature. They copied the sound of babies crying, fox chases, and of course the train, mimicking the train, before they even really would get into tunes.
And are you going to be gigging anytime soon?
Yes, I've got the Ely Folk Festival in a couple of weeks. And also you can watch out, I've got a regular gig that I do in Huntington at the Samuel Pepys on the first Sunday of every month. And that's a really nice gig. I pull in lots of different musicians each time. And it's just a nice gig. Come along, have something to eat and listen to some light music.
Wonderful stuff. And we touched upon your website. What's the address again?
It's www.steve.ms. That's M for mother, S for sugar.
Wonderful stuff. And we'll play out today with another track from this album, and it's called Stone Fox. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, it comes from, as I was talking about, this rhythmical thing of trying to make something that sounds... from that train type thing, but actually moving it in, you'll recognise this is the theme tune from the old grey whistle chest. So really, I listened to the original, which is Area 615, I think it was, and I listened to that and I thought, I want to do a little bit more of a modern version.
And here it is. It's been wonderful chatting with you, Steve, this afternoon,
Matt.
And thank you very much for bringing in your harmonicas and this classic Jump, Bump and Boogie album from 1996.
There's not many left.
Memories. And just before you go, I remember you performing on Cambridge Red TV and from the Compton Studios all those years ago.
yes, Red TV. Well, that was great. Got a lot of people started, got a lot of people on their first rung of the ladder and allowed them to try out their passion for radio and TV, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. I was really pleased to support that.
Indeed, we were talking off air about Colonel Hathie, for example, now the Big Ten.
Yes. What a band. Absolutely fantastic. Actually, I'm taking lessons from the bass player in Logic Studio.
You really?
Yes. But what a great band. And they have been going for years. And Gary, their singer, he's, you know, an iconic guy on the local scene. I've always had a lot of respect for those guys.
Wonderful stuff. It's been great chatting with you, and you'll be able to hear this podcast again over on our website over the next coming days as well.